Forward AJC.
KO4 HKX, you still there?
Hey, Patrick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Running a little ahead of schedule today, so it's taking me a little short break.
Good. Hopefully the traffic isn't bad for you today.
Got down the mountain, it hadn't been too bad. The trip down this morning, I had three people try to run me over on the way down the mountain.
Must have wanted to run you up pretty bad for trying to run over your truck and your trailer, too.
5:30 in the morning, I wondered if their eyes were open yet.
It's a bad time to be out on the road. Anything after about 1:30 or 2 in the morning to about 3 or 4, and then 5 to about 6:30. There's not much traffic out there, but there's some people that don't get no business being on the road that time of the morning, especially if there's any fog or anything like that. It makes it real hard.
So, what are you up to today?
I haven't been doing much of anything this morning. Well, I take that back. I have to. I went out and had to go do a little, pick up something for lunch and go to the bank. See how little money I had left in there, that sort of stuff. I know a lot of people out this morning, though. It was more, I left about 11, but, man, they were packing up pretty heavy by the time I got back home by around 12 or so. I think everything's opening back up again. People are getting out, stirring around again now since you can get gas again. That just makes it doubly as busy some places. We've got to go to Sam's this afternoon, which I'm not looking forward to, because it's going to be a melee, I'm sure.
Sam's is always packed anymore.
Sit on your DMR. You got everything set up now?
Yeah, I got the DMR up and going. I don't have any problems out of it. Been using it a little bit here and there. Mainly stay on the North Carolina and South Carolina channels. You get out on the worldwide and it's so busy you can't hardly get off of it.
There's a lot of activity on DMR. And D-Star's not quite like that. It's not near as busy. Oh, some of the reflectors are over in the morning after the Tuesday use for the 1:30, which is worldwide reflectors that are used pretty heavily there. They get real busy about 2 o'clock in the morning. If I have to wake up and fall back and slip over in and see my spot tells me who's on. And, you know, typically who's on there. You see a lot of foreign stations on there, out of U.S., stations on there at that time of the morning, because it's usually about 8 or 9 hours difference. It's real busy from about 2 to about 5 or 6 in the morning, then it gets busy again on over the evening. It's mostly U.S. stations by that time.
Pretty much how the DMR is going too. But so far, the North Carolina channel, there's a group of guys on there that are on there. Pretty much use it just like we do this repeater. Just get on there and rack you. And, they got a net on there on Monday nights at 8:30 out of Gaston County. So I've been playing around with a little more, some of the other talk groups and things like that to see what's out there.
I've been working through a couple of repeaters on D-Star, some local ones in some areas that I've got friends in, and I can... That way I could talk to them about tying up the main reflectors. But a lot of them are still linked to one or the other main worldwide reflectors. But I just figured I'd just get in there and don't link up. Maybe I'd just get some local stuff. I got a friend of mine who lives in Florida and another couple in South Georgia that I talked to. They got some pretty good local D-Star repeaters they use, and of course most of them use DMR too. I just haven't ventured into that yet, although who knows, I might do it at some point in time, especially since I got a hot spot.
Hey Jerry, can you hit the 145-420 repeater down south of you, toward Greenwood?
I'm on the other side of the county. Patrick, I got a friend of mine who lives down there, you know, towards Abbeville. He can hit it. but he has to use a beam or a little bit of power. He doesn't have a tower or anything like that up. But I don't. Is that a D star or is that just a regular repeater?
D star repeater. The reason I ask is because I got it in my scan channels, and it'll come up every now and then as I'm driving up and down 25.
Imagine if you got some elevation, you could get on it because it's on a water tower or where it is, Patrick. I don't remember. I haven't been to that Greenwood Hamfest in years, but they had one on top of a water tower down there that had some elevation on it. That may be where that D-Star repeater is located as well. But I know, my friend, he can't hit it from Anderson County, from Anderson. He lives down there at that towards Howard, down on the other side of the county, but he has to get in a little closer for them. He's got anything but a J-pole up, but I think when you travel down around, it's hard to get into about that space. But I imagine if you're high enough on elevation on 25 and hit a peak or something, you should be able to get into it, I guess. I haven't heard any. I tried to link into it a time or two, but I hadn't heard any activity to amount to anything on it, though.
Bit on there.
At the wrong times. I'll have to get on that thing and link up to it and see what it is. I know there's one supposed to be one up there on Caesar's Head, but I don't know who it belongs to, and I don't know whether it's active or not.
There's supposed to be a couple of repeaters up around Caesar's Head, but this is the only one I hear anything out of, or when you try to check in or anything, that's all you get. Well, Jerry, I'm going to have to hop off here. The guys are coming back from lunch now. So, good talking to you, and I'll try to check out and keep an ear out for you later. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear on your final.
Have a good afternoon. Sell a bunch of stuff. Talk to you later. N4DJC.
Well, U2T.
Doing today?
Oh, pretty good. I owe you an apology. I called you Jim the other day, and I don't know why.
I called a lot of things, Rusty. Jim is not necessarily a bad name. I've been called a lot worse.
Too, and all. But it dawned on me after I got off the radio that, yeah, I called you by the wrong name. Oh, well. You know, you can't win them all, so you just do with what you can. How you doing today?
Today? My nose is a little stuffy today. I got, I don't know whether the humidity is getting to me or what it is, but some kind of pollen out there is tearing me. It's getting me irritated somehow or another, some way or another. I'm not sure what it is. I know, as you tell Patrick, we got to go to Sam's later on this afternoon. I'm not looking forward to that. It's always hard to get in and out of that place. It's close. I'm only about 2 miles from it, but it's still a problem getting in and out of there. We've got a Walmart right beside of it. This is in the gas station now, so he's backed up all the time, too.
Yeah, that's the bad thing about the Sam's over here. This one over here stays, the gas station stays backed up because they've got such a short lead up to it, and it's across the road that goes up and back into Sam's and back into the church is back in there and all that stuff. It's on the other side of the road, and you've only got room enough for about 3 cars to get in front of each set of pumps. And that's 2 at the pumps and one sitting back behind it. And then people will get out there and just back up all over the place, people trying to get in and out of Sam's. They're going to have a nasty wreck over there one day, and it ain't going to be pretty.
Set up pretty good. I don't remember how many pumps this guy. It's probably got 10 pumps, maybe, I guess. It's got enough room for probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 cars behind each pump. But it's only one way in and one way out. It's not, you can't go in the opposite direction. If people got the gas cap on the right-hand side, it's fine for that. But if it's on the left-hand side, you gotta wait for a specific pump, and since you can only go in one way, it kind of makes a mess of it. But it's easier to get in and out of it than most of them are. But a lot of people, because you got to put the Sam's card in first, and put the put the credit card in, and then if it's got a chip in it, you got to wait on. A lot of people just, you know, they get up and get off fumbling around with that stuff, and it takes forever for them to get start pumping.
I know that. And like I said, this one, you can get three, maybe four cars on each side of the row, and they've got one, two, they got three rows of pumps. So they've got, they only got three rows of pumps. And there's a little building there, too, where the people that run that part of it sit when they have to get out of the rain and things like that. So it's kind of a backup over here, and it's a royal pain in the rump to get in there sometimes. So I just get my gas elsewhere most of the time. Not worth the effort. I mean, it's cheaper, but sometimes it's not worth the effort to try to fight your way in and out of there to get gas, you know?
Hey, now, they just put this one in probably the last year, I guess, and it's laid out. It's at the bottom of the parking lot. It's not really, it's separated from the regular Sam's parking lot. You can just go in. There's one entrance to go in there, and you just go straight down there to go to the pumps, or you can take a left and go into the front of the Sam's there. But it's laid out pretty well. It's still there because they're about 20 cents a gallon cheaper than anybody else. And plus, you get a 5% discount if you use a Discover card or one of the preferred cards just for Sam's. So it winds up being pretty big and cheap. I don't drive that much. I don't fill up that often anyway, but we'll try to go down there and get it there if possible. But it is confusing to some people. They get on the wrong side of the pump and they try to back up and get around. It's just a mess. I'm surprised a lot of people don't realize which side of the car the gas camp's on.
Well, with the cars today and most recent ones, all you got to do is look at your dash, and it'll tell you what side the gas cap, because there's a nice little arrow that points to where the gas cap is, the gas tank is up on the dash there. It's just surprising how many people don't realize that, you know.
All behind us since probably mid-2000s, since mid-2000, I think most all behind us on the driver's side. And I think I had a Toyota that had it. It might have had it on the passenger side at one time, but I know I've had them with both on one of the either side, but both our cars have it on the driver's side. And I don't have to have a key. I can just pop mine open, and then since it doesn't have a cap to put on it, it seals itself. I don't have to fill that gas cap either. Makes it a lot easier. But still, I have to get around and not trip up over the nozzle and all the other stuff when I'm getting back to the driver's side, because sometimes if it's cold, I don't want to stay outside while it's pumping. M4DJC for ID.
W2T. Well, I'll tell you what, mine's on the passenger side, and I've known about it and everything, and I automatically just go that way to get where I'm going, so I don't let it worry me. But it's surprising how many times you'll find people that have no clue which side their gas cap is on, and you'll sit there in line and watch them fumble, decide whether I need to go right or left to get on there. You know, it's not worth it, and I just sit there and marvel at some of these people, and wonder. Is it really worth it to get there and watch these people go through that, you know?
They walk among us. I think my Subaru guy had it on the right hand side. I don't remember for sure, but it seemed like it was an oddball. But it was also made in Japan. It wasn't made here in the U.S. It was a Japanese made Subaru. And of course, it had standard, steer wheels on the correct side for American drivers. But a lot of times, in Japan, they still drive just like the British do.
Well, mine's a Chevy, so You know, but it's the gas caps on the gas tanks feeds on the left hand, on the right hand side over there, on the passenger side. And everything. I just heard you in there and wanted to say hello to you and see what was going on. And glad to hear you're doing okay. Better you than me with having to go to Sam's this afternoon. I went the other day. And, you know, I got in, got out, got what I needed. And I went, actually, I went on Monday. And it was not, I thought it would be packed on Monday. But believe it or not, I was able to get in and out, get everything I wanted. You know, there was a few people there, but it wasn't like I was expecting it to be, you know.
We went to Walmart on Friday just to pick up a couple of things. It was not busy. There wasn't a lot of stuff there because we went later in the afternoon. A couple of things we normally get there out of, but it should be stocked back up by now. But I thought we were just going to Sam's today. We try to get out maybe once or twice a week, sometimes when we got company coming over the weekend. Get a couple of things we don't normally eat. But Rush, I'll let you go. I'm trying to find what I found one. I think I finally found a power supply for my little HF rig here. It's still a switching supply, but it appears to be a lot quieter than most of the other ones. Right now, the Astron I got now is pretty diggum noisy. It's 18 amp switching. I only need about 4 amps for this little QRP. Rig, and I think I found one that some people up at Chapel Hill are making. It looks like it's a whole lot better for noise than the one I've got does. But normally it's not a problem on FM, but when you get into HF bands, you know, those switching supplies, they can be pretty noisy. But I'll let you get in for DJC. I'll have to use Rush. You have a good afternoon.
All right, Jerry, we'll catch you later. You be careful when you get out there on that road. I have nothing I need to go out for this afternoon. I might order me some lunch and have it delivered instead of trying to go out there and get it myself. Anyway, we'll talk to you later. N4DJC, W2T73.
From what I see, you don't need no lunch, Rusty. N0TR.
The kettle black. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, that's the truth. I resemble that. Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. We just are headed down to Lowe's.
Between you and Bob up there and Edney up there where he lives, y'all keep Lowe's and Home Depot in business, don't you?
Keep them out of cow manure and stuff like that. And then I kind of spread around a little BS while I'm there if I meet anybody. How are you, Jerry?
I'm doing today. If you're out, you must be doing pretty good.
Well, it's been a not so good a morning regarding pain, but I'm still above the dirt, so not complaining. We've been out in the yard and tended to the chickens and gathered a few eggs. It's a little early for that. Watered them and went down and removed a gray and white varmint, shall we call him, and took him back to the coyote log. Oh, I got a picture of a coyote pup coming up there to eat the day before yesterday.
Well, you better watch it, that coyote, to come back and have your chickens for dinner one night, Tom.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Boy, it was a young one, just like a little doggy. And, there's quite a group of them down there. They've never bothered the chickens yet. But I told them a bunch of chicken bones down there last night. Bernice made chicken noodles yesterday. So I hope they don't develop a taste for them. Go ahead, Jerry.
The fox run out in front of me over here, close to us. This morning before lunch, Gray ran across the yard. Ran across the road. He was hauling buggy too. But he was in good shape, though. He looked good. He had big bushy tail and seemed to be in good health. Haven't seen one. I used to see one here every once in a while, but I hadn't seen one here in the neighborhood in probably a couple of years, I don't guess. So that coyote's been taking care of them.
Oh, I was going to let you go next. I try to, the varmints try to, I don't see them over here as much as I used to. I used to see a lot of deer over here in my area, but I haven't seen much of them lately either. But you never know. I guess we'll, it just depends upon what's going on in the woods around me and everything. And with all this construction going on over in this area, over down on the other end of the road where I live. And then starting next Tuesday, I guess that's the 8th, yeah. Next Tuesday, they're going to start some kind of road construction all up down my road. And with them moving power poles up on the other end of it, it's almost like they're planning to widen my road all the way down to where it meets up with Blackstock Road. But I don't know how they can do that because there's an interstate bridge in the middle, and they're not setting up to widen that bridge. So I don't know what they're going to do. It's going to be interesting to see. It's just going to be a mess. At least they waited till school got out. But there's enough traffic on this road that I get a lot of people coming and going, and a lot of big rigs come through here, going from here to over to Highway 290 and back over that way to all the businesses that are out there, plants that are out there now. So it gets interesting. It's going to be interesting. I will sit back next week and watch what's going on and see how much my dog is going to go nuts with these folks out here. Anyway, let me go. I've got a couple of things to do. I got some laundry that's finishing up. I need to get back and see what the status is on it, see if things are ready to move to the dryer from the washer. And I'll catch up with both of you in a little while. And y'all have a good one. Tom to take it, N0TR to take it, W2T. Talk to both of you later.
Okay, Rusty. Well, nice to hear you this morning, or this afternoon, I should say. Doesn't matter, we're retired. And I think we might run by the post office first. You want to do that, Bernice? Drop that letter? Oh, okay. We got to go down that way anyways. Yeah, I dread going into this parking lot up here, Jerry. That's probably the most dangerous place in the world. And I'm driving the truck, so it's a little more difficult than driving the car. But we'll manage somehow. And then I got to get some non-ethanol gas on the way back. Oh, that always cuts you to the core. I don't know how much they'll be getting for that. Probably over $3 a gallon, without a doubt.
I don't know what my son-in-law pays for down at the boat ring. My boat being a Pullman, I have no idea, but I'm sure it's expensive. I don't know where they had. I don't think they had any trouble with non-ethanol getting a hold of that stuff, but all I know is that stuff's always been expensive. It's not as bad as aviation fuel.
It reminds me of the good old days. We ran 115, 145 in our S2s, D's and E's in the old days when I was in the service. And some of the guys steal that now and then. They told me, I never seen it. And they burn the valves out of the cars. So it wasn't such a good deal. But I use that just strictly in the lawnmowers because it don't take that much. But, gee-many, you go in there and get 10 gallons, you're talking about $30, $40 worth of gas in 2 5-gallon cans. That kind of stinks.
Depends when they could probably, they could make it a lot cheaper than that, I'm sure. My brother-in-law had a plane, and he sold it a couple of years ago. He got to where he was. His vision wasn't that good, and he decided not to fly anymore. But he didn't fly a lot, but it was expensive. You know, I think he had a, I don't know what he might have had a Cessna. I know it was a low wing, but I can't remember which aircraft it was. Time, but he loved that thing. He flew it a lot, just as a hobby more than anything else. Out of Athens, and he'd fly over here sometimes. But he really enjoyed that. I hate to see him get rid of it after he'd had it. But he's probably had it for 15 or 20 years, I guess. But, yeah, that aircraft is an expensive hobby. It just takes a lot to keep them up, and you better keep them up. You don't want to be, you won't be flying instead of headed to the crash site.
Roger, this is NZLT. Most of the low wings were Pipers, Piper Cherokees, and that was real popular. And the high wings were Cessnas 150, 172, 182, like that. And, each guy had his preferences, and then there were a lot of other manufacturers occasionally. Yeah, I remember seeing those built out in Wichita, Cessna, and Beechcraft, which is now Raytheon, I think. Well, Jerry, looks like there's quite a few here. I'm going to pull in to one of these wider handicap spots. I missed it. Hang on.
I'll let y'all go, and I'll be doing the same thing here in about an hour or so, probably. You Bernice, have a good afternoon. Be careful around the parking lot and getting in and out of the car and all that sort of thing. Watch your top knot, as they used to say. We'll talk at you a little bit later, Tom. Is here TR in 4DJC.
Okay, Jerry. Great to hear you. Yeah, they used 100 low lead in those, and it was running about $5 a gallon. And it's not cheap to go out there and bore holes in the sky. Rich man's hobby, that's for sure. I'd love to be able to do it, but there's no way I could now. never get past the health certificate. Anyways, and wouldn't have the money to do it anyways. 73's Jerry, and 4DJC, and 0TR, it's now clear.